Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious uncoupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
Good morning, Vietnam. We are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Naomi, I am full. The Lord is, it's Sunday we're recording this intro, and the Lord is just within me.
Lord is within you. You're feeling the spirit. It's funny because I put on my headphones and then was like, I don't need these on.
They're also not plugged into anything.
So I was just like, was muffled headphones. For no reason. So I was like, why can't I hear? But it was kind of good that I was muffled because you were screaming. It's like Vietnam style.
It's like in Wet Hot American Summer where the guy is doing the radio show, and then halfway through the movie, you find out that none of the things he's talking into are plugged into anything.
Yes.
Yes. Your headphones are not plugged into anything. Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. We have, first of all, an action-packed intro for you, let alone an action-packed episode.
An action-packed time, okay? It's an action-packed time all around. We actually recorded two episodes this weekend, so we've been, like, very productive. Yes. We're really bringing podcast energy. But then it's also funny because... I just had this weekend, you guys, where I was just like, I was so tired all weekend. And it's like, not even because I'm doing anything dynamic. I just am like, I'm tie-tie.
Well, you're in the writer's room all week.
I know, but I
Mythic
think
Quest is starting up soon. That's a lot of like, a lot of thinking and stress and all that
kind
of stuff.
A lot of stressing. I know it's a lot of stressing, but
that tires you out.
Don't it, sister. By the time I get to Saturday, I go, I just want to lay here. I've started watching a Japanese show on Netflix called House of Ninjas, and that's fun for me. So I've just been cuddled up in bed watching House of Ninjas this weekend.
Now, is that a ballroom? Like, is that a drag? Is that...
The category is?
The category is silent slicing.
No. This is like, I guess kind of like, obviously action-y, because they're ninjas, but it's more just like, it's like a family where they're like, we're done with that life. And then of course it gets sucked back in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like, why not? Having a good time.
Do people, is there silent slicing? Are there katanas? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. Well, you know, the whole thing is that these people, they can move through the shadows.
Yes.
Okay, they're silent.
Yeah.
They're silent.
Yeah.
They're flipping, and then you don't even hear their feet touch the ground. The whole family. The whole family.
The whole family. Now, what I would like to see is a sitcom with ninjas where they're arguing over, like, you know, who sharpened the shuriken? Is that how you pronounce that? I've only ever read it in a Ninja Turtles comic, so I
don't know what a shuriken is.
Throwing star.
Oh, well, why don't you just say throwing star? I'm not that far into House of Ninjas where I know all the names of all the parts.
I was so excited when I took karate classes in the heyday of the Turtles. Everyone wants to take karate.
Everybody was taking karate.
We got to use the bow staff, when we got to use nunchucks, I got to do katas with sais. That was exciting. Never got to use a katana, though. For some reason, they didn't want to give a 12-year-old a sharp sword. I don't know why.
Were you a Donatello?
Oh.
Or a Raphael?
Take a guess.
I just said, were you a Donatello or a Raphael?
You've narrowed it down to the two you think I would be. Now, what do you really think?
Raphael.
No, Donatello.
You're a Donnie. Okay,
he was the smart one.
Okay, you're right. You were the smart one, definitely.
Yeah,
you were. But like Raphael is like the little, like, you know, he's like the kind of sarcastic, dry, I'm looking at you, which is why I was like kind of torn. Because that's why I'm like, you're one of those. And it really feels to me. And then I was like, you know, you're a little smart ass that I can maybe see you being a touch Raphael.
But I identified more with Donatello. Here's her name when I'm a kid. Orko from He-Man.
Okay.
Donatello.
Great.
Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
Pick another cartoon. Oh, Bumblebee with Transformers.
Okay, Thundercats. Did you have one there? Snarf.
No, I didn't have
was
one.
Is it a Snarf one? I don't know.
I guess Lion-O. I don't know.
We don't know.
Naomi, speaking of thunder, bringing the thunder to this intro.
Well, no, I said let's. You know what? Before we go any further, we got to give a shout out to a
That's,
queen.
Well, this is where I want.
Queen.
This is where I want to go. We want to extend our hearty gratitude to
deepest
to Kelly in Germany.
Kelly sent us.
Now, yeah, Kelly was listening to an older episode where I lamented the fact that there are no gummies that I can eat because they all have gelatin in them.
Yes.
And as a vegetarian, I don't eat animal products.
You don't eat ground animal bones. You said no bones for me.
No.
No bones. And
yes,
specifically, it was the Coke bottles.
Yes,
the
like
difficulty.
David Boreanaz after,
nope,
the end of that show.
Nope. Yep, I see
no
where
bones.
You're getting. No, I know exactly where you're getting. And I said, nope, don't even get there. Okay, it's a long muddy walk.
Like Emily Deschanel, post season. I've never watched the show, so I don't know what the last season of the show was. Anyway,
it was season 40.
Anyway, Kelly sent us a care package full of German gummies, which do not have gelatin in them.
The German gummies are vegan. The German gummies are vegan. We had to go international.
And I just want to read this one part from, first of all, beautiful note on
gorgeous,
beautiful stationery.
Beautiful stationery, beautiful penmanship. I've never been so moved. It was so funny because, you know, it was sent to another address, my manager's office, and they were like, there's something for you from Germany. And they always are like, can I open this? Because they like to know what's going on.
At first I said, does it have a swastika on it? What's
exactly.
going on?
Exactly. I said, what's going on? Because I didn't know. I didn't know that this was in process. And then I was
it's
like,
from a Herr Goebbels.
And
I don't know.
I was
Should
like,
we
definitely
open
it up first.
It's ticking. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, but in the note, it says they're vegetarian. They're cherry Coke flavored. Unfortunately, the straight up Coca-Cola ones are still full of hooves.
What are we doing?
Full of hooves.
Why full of hooves, people?
Capitalism. Capitalism has destroyed just the ability to have a delicious gummy because it's like we have to use every single part of this animal.
Right.
We have
right.
to make a profit from every fucking molecule, every mitochondria in this cow.
I know.
So let's dump those hooves. You can make gummies without gelatin, folks.
Come on, guys. We know this can be done. We've eaten them for years. Let's just get the hooves out of candy. Let's get the bones out of candy.
The taste isn't different. The taste is not different. It's not like the hooves are some kind of magical chemical that make it irresistible.
We don't want razor blades and apples. We don't want bones and gummies.
Yeah.
All right. And to me, it is the same danger.
Hooves? It would behoove you to get the fuck out of my gummies.
Behooves.
Anyway, thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank
They're
you.
Very delicious, very sweet, very fresh.
Since we're still on the subject of food, Naomi.
Absolutely, always. Now, I'm always on the subject of food.
Now, past couple episodes, we've been asking people to leave. Now, this stems from the fact that you do not know what to cook. That you don't know when you are very hungry.
Correct.
You don't know what to do.
And then I'm too hungry where I'm like, I don't want to spend a long time on it. Like, the whole point is I'm hungry now. So then I'm like, what's the quickest thing? But then also, what's not garbage.
Yes. So very organically, you were just like, hey, can people leave reviews
just
on Apple Podcasts with the word compelling? Put the word compelling in there.
I didn't know people would actually do it. You know, I'd just be saying stuff.
Listeners, I love you all. This is
I do.
Because there are so many reviews that say compelling and then just have some food in it. And it is the funniest thing for me to read. So, okay. First of all, please continue to do that. But I want to read some of these. So, David, I hope these inspire you.
I mean, they have so far.
Okay, because I've not seen you cook anything yet. So
Andy,
I just want.
Why do you have to? The way he will just put a bitch on blast in front of company. It's like, sir, nobody needed that.
Because I'm rooting for you.
You and I both know
Naomi,
that I didn't cook nothing.
I am rooting for you to figure out your nutrition journey. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So we should read. Well, I'll read a couple. You read a couple. Here's one. Microwave nachos, no toppings, just Tostitos and shredded cheddar. This is a go-to easy meal.
That is very sad to me. That is very sad. Just Tostitos and cheese? No, I can't have that.
Seems like a meal to me. I don't like shred. I don't like, outside of a mozzarella stick, I don't like melted cheese.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess in a quesadilla.
Yeah, I think so.
Another, my go-to meal is black bean burritos, one can of black beans, one can of Rotel, 1 cup instant rice. Cook until rice is tender and throw in a tortilla.
Okay. I can see that coming together.
Not bad. Okay. Do you want to read this now? Someone just said the phrase tater tot hot dish last time.
Correct. And I said I needed to follow up.
Write another review and explain what that is.
Okay, great. So they've come through. Y'all are missing out on a Midwest delicacy. You basically combine browned hamburger, sorry, Andy, cream of mushroom soup, corn and green beans in a baking dish.
Just fake ground beef, by the way.
Top with tater tots and cheese, bake at 350 for an hour, and you have access to true happiness. Green bean casserole is a similar meatless alternative.
Interesting.
You know what, honestly, tater tot hot dish, I can see it. I can really see that because you know what it is? It's kind of like a broke-ass shepherd's pie.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So instead of
I don't know what shepherd's pie is.
It is layered. You've got potato on top, but usually it's like whipped potato, you know, and then it's kind of been put over, and then it is ground beef mixed with usually like peas, carrots, veggie.
I got to say, I stayed away from all the kind of pot pies. Any kind of savory pie?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there seems something off about it as a concept.
It's funny because I really enjoy when all the foods are together in one dish. Like, you know, I mean, like a chili, a casserole,
like a KFC a hearty puke bowl soup. Or whatever it's called.
No, Andy, not a KFC puke bowl. But I enjoy a seven-layered dip. I like when a single bite has the range.
When it contains multitudes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So that's what I'm very into.
Read the next one, too.
French onion soup if I feel like cooking. That's already complicated. If I don't feel like cooking, my snacks turn into a meal, and that's usually Kemp's cottage cheese with chives and Annie's white cheddar bunnies. That's so you're up your alley, Andy. A real snack. That snack is. Attack.
Yeah, look, if all of my meals could be snacks.
Yeah.
Or how about this? 90%.
Yeah. I mean,
I need some, you know, hot cuisine at least 10% of the time.
Yeah, but like you're hot. Like Andy looks when I'm saying snacks, Andy's like a cheese plate, which is like both hot because it can be fancy cheeses, but it's also still just snack.
Right, but that's 90%. And then the other 10% is ortolan buntings with a napkin over my head. Has to be just the finest and escargot. Okay, this last one. Two fried eggs with salt and pepper. The smell of them cooking immediately lifts my mood a smidge. A bowl of cereal, a PB&J, or boxed mac and cheese. This all seems up your alley.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to add this last part. I love this podcast so much. I am so grateful you talk about COVID. I'm sending love to the animals. P.S. I am a therapist and have recommended this podcast to some of my clients.
Wow. Okay, that's huge. You know when the mental health professionals come through. Yeah. I can't. I'm gasping. I'm gagging. I'm agog.
Oh, wait. Can I read one more? My go-to dinner, quesadilla with a corn tortilla made on a comal or pan. Don't you dare warm up a tortilla in the microwave. I would never. By the way, I would never.
Andy would never.
I do not use the microwave like that. If you want to be fancy, add some chicken meat or some other protein. Then, okay, so here's the fun part. Then throw a bag of popcorn and ta-da.
Wait, what?
Dinner is served. So you have that quesadilla with a bag of popcorn.
Okay, side of popcorn. We're not putting the popcorn on the quesadilla.
If you want to be extra fancy, add some pickled jalapenos into the popcorn for some zing.
In the popcorn? Because I do love a pickled jalapeno. You know, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow, wow. That's fun. Mm-hmm. People are having fun out there.
I would never. To me, popcorn is not something you have. It is exclusively while you watch a movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Them's the rules.
Exclusively.
It's funny. I find popcorn because, you know, I realize my go-to snacks, I like a crunch. When something's crunching, it gives me a feeling of satisfaction. So, for instance, that's why I really like Triscuits. Salt crunch. Popcorn. Salt crunch. A salt crunch makes me really feel like I've gotten something done.
That's why I just like eating salt.
I know.
Get a little, grain of salt from the packet of when you make a pretzel in the toaster oven. Big old chunks of it like you would put on your driveway in the winter.
Just eat one of those. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got an update, Naomi. We got an update.
I love an update. I love an update. I need to know where you are.
Do you remember in Aaron's episode just last week, if you are listening to this in serial order, just last week, I talked to our friend Aaron Whitehead. And in it, someone asked a question that was kind of like a long 7-year situationship with a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sent us a voicemail update. Here Ooh. We go.
Hello. I'm the ignorant baby who called for this week's episode with Aaron, and I wanted to give you an update. So to answer your earlier questions about, like, what the communication was like between the makeout and now, when I was visiting him and we had that makeout session, he drove me to the airport at 4 a.m, called me right after I got through security, promised to visit me in my hometown, and then ghosted me for about, like, 5 months. And it sucks. So that's the update there. And then, he's also now dating someone else and has only been with her for 6 months and is moving in with her. So, wow, sad song. Oh, well. I am going to talk to him, though, and be like, yo, that was a dick move that you just pulled where you're like, I'm so sorry. I've been absent from your life. I'm going to visit you. I promise, sooner than later. And then not speaking to me. That was lame. So I'm going to say that. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to my advice. There was plenty more detail I could have given, but truly this like countdown clock of a 3-minute limit is so scary. Thank you guys. I love you very much. And, ignorant baby is just a little less ignorant now.
I think that when you said ignorant baby, you were saying it in a, my little ignorant
yes,
baby.
Yes,
like
I was. I meant it with loving kindness. You know I love you.
Just in case, for the listener, the case is your first episode. We were like, you ignorant.
Well, no, come on, my little ignorant baby. She called back. She said, I love you. And I said, I love you too, baby.
This dude sounds like a real shitbag.
Yeah, he's a real shitbag. But it's true. You're less ignorant now, honey. You know things. You've seen things. And, you know, I always think it's worthwhile to tell a man when he's trash. So you said, I'm going to call him and say it was a dick move. I said, duh.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? They need to hear it because it was a dick move. And you know what? Just tell him. Just tell him. It's like, also, it's like moving in with her after 6 months. Bless their fucking hearts. Okay. There, but for the grace of God, I'll tell you, you dodged a bullet.
More people, by the way, should use the Price is Right horns in the middle of anything. Conversations. I love that.
Oh, yeah. That was real good. That was real good.
Finally, Naomi, I wanted to read, this is a note from one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be a huge help for you, and I haven't shown it to you. We got this about a week ago. Shown it to you because I wanted...
And you waited till we got a mic?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. I'm a big fan. Love the pod. I'm a therapist.
Uh-oh, another pro is in our midst.
And have been ultra rooting for Naomi to find someone she loves. I got to tell you that Psychology Today is kind of trash as a directory, and I know it's the most well-known one, but there are better ones. I hear it mentioned on the podcast, and every time I internally scream that Psych Today isn't all that good at screening providers, so some are great and some are super not.
Okay.
If y'all are wanting this info, Inclusive Therapists, Therapy Den, COVID conscious therapists. Those are three different ones.
Yes.
Inclusive therapists, Therapy Den, COVID conscious therapists are all directories I'd recommend over Psychology Today.
I was just on COVID conscious therapists last week because somebody else told me about them. And I was like trying to find, I was going through and it was tricky because, you know, they have it divided by state. So I was looking at California, but then I was like looking, obviously, you know, to see their gender. And then I want to see if they took my insurance. And then, because there were people where I was like, oh, they seem good. And then I looked and it was like $2.25 an hour. And I said,
$2.25 doesn't seem that bad.
Auntie, you know, I wish it was. You know, I wish it was. And I was like, $225.
That used to be what a comic book cost when I was a kid.
So I was looking at them, but I'm going to try these other ones too. Yeah, Inclusive Therapist, Therapy Den. A den. That sounds sordid. That sounds sordid, and I love
therapy
it.
Therapy hookah bar.
I mean, I appreciate, thank you for telling us that and sharing that with us, because the Lord knows I didn't know, because you're right. Psychology Today is the one that people know, but it's so true, honey. Anybody could be on a goddamn database. It's like, what are we doing? Well, what's screening?
I was reading about this a couple weeks ago. Apparently, what insurance companies will do is they take their list of like who they'll accept is inflated, and they just have a bunch of people on there too. and that fucks up the
meaning directors have the list, right? Because when I search through my insurance, they'll have a neighbor person, then I call that person
and they don't exist,
right? I told you I called one person that was like, she's been dead for 7 years. I said, they ain't updated the database in 7 goddamn years. She didn't die last month, she didn't die last year, she died 7 years ago. I said, good Lord.
Oh, Dr. Finnegan's been dead. Who have you been talking to? She's been dead for over 200 years.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Do not untie the bow that's wrapped around her neck.
Oh, my God. But speaking of untying a bow, I'm just going to keep using that to get to segue.
Love it.
This episode's a gift.
It's a gift from us to you, the listener.
This is a perfect, beautiful time. This is our first time meeting this person, talking to them. They were a dream. We were big fans of them going in, right? Mm-hmm. So we were all like, okay, I hope this is going to be fine. I hope that they're going to like us. And it was so
good. Very nervous.
Me too.
I was very nervous.
I was so nervous.
I think I talk about it in the, because I watched Monica. It was so good.
Yes.
And do I say, I think I say this before we start recording, but basically, but our guest today is a serious actor. And I was like, I feel weird asking you to say the tagline.
I know.
As a serious actor.
I'm so sorry we have to make you say loosen your butts because you're a professional. And we are talking about the one, the only, the iconic Trace Lissette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's an actor. Mm-hmm. She's an icon. You have seen her on Transparent. You've seen her on Pose. You've seen her in the movie Hustlers. And as Andy just said, she is starring in the movie Monica. And she is amazing. So good. You have got to see it. It's streaming now, so you need to get into it while you can get into it.
I think it's on multiple things. I saw it on AMC Plus.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, when I say streaming, I do, yeah, because I'm multiple things. I'm like,
if you got AMC in order to watch Better Call Saul, you got to watch Monica.
But it's like, Trace Lissette and Patricia Clarkson, did you even know you needed that combination until you got it and said, shoot it into my veins? Okay. Also, you should keep an eye out for the movie Dope Queens that she is in with Alexandra Gray.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming out sometime. So just keep an ear and an eye out for
it. Set a Google alert.
Set a Google alert in your heart, on your calendar, in your soul. And you know what? I'm going to stop playing games because we got to get to it because it was a great, great conversation with the one, the only, the iconic Trace Lissette.
Roll it. I wanted to bring this up. Wait, do you have a question?
You can go because you are chomping at the damn bit.
Because I had this thought about something that I think may generate discussion, but maybe it won't. We'll see where it goes. When I was watching Monica, there was a moment in the middle where I think you're like, I can't handle this. Your character is like, I can't handle this. So you leave and you're driving away and kind of just, it's on, like the camera is on your face and you just start kind of like crying a little bit. And it made me think how that's such a, like a suburban or a rural thing, driving in your car with heartache and crying and listening to music. And
yeah,
I grew up in Pennsylvania. I think you grew up in Ohio, right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
So is that, and Naomi's from New York. She's from Harlem.
So I do my crying on the subway.
So you've never had.
I was
had,
doing subway crying.
You've never had that. You've never driven around listening to music with heartbreak.
Right.
Now, Trace, I'm wondering, is this a thing that is present? Like, can you call up these memories? Like, are they in your head? Like, yes, I've been driving around with heartache listening to music.
I'm sure I did. You know, I left Ohio when I was like 19, so I cried a lot on the subway as well.
Okay.
In Brooklyn and Harlem. But so yeah, I mean, crying in transit. I cry on the plane all the time when I'm watching some sad movie or rom-com or something. I don't know what it is. I think it's because your body has an activity and it kind of lulls you, and you're not distracted. Because you're just doing this thing that you do so often, you're not distracted. You're kind of just like on autopilot, and then your emotions free up. Now that's very different trying to do it in front of a camera, but but I was able to tap into something there. I think I was angry at the orange cone in my way. And I channeled that.
I have all these memories of in high school being broken up with by my high school girlfriend, and then driving up and down this Gibraltar Road. For anyone who's from
Pennsylvania,
the suburbs of Reading, Pennsylvania, Gibraltar, it is a twisty, turny road. 11 o'clock at night, listening to indie rock, like Superchunk or something like
that. Yeah,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
Like, This is
having a cry.
Yeah, this will never heal.
Trace, do you have your go-to cry music? Music when you're like, I'm feeling bad and I need the music to reflect my darkness?
I have a playlist called I Can't Make You Love Me.
Okay, that's the one.
Okay. Yeah.
And the first song is Bonnie Raitt, which is I Can't Make You Love Me. And I sometimes I throw that on and take a bath and let it all out.
What I was going to say before you asked your question, Andy, because I was thinking about, because it's funny, because, you know, we have people say the tagline, but for me, it always kind of serves as a temperature check of where the person is in that moment in terms of like, so for me, because I also think of you, and again, not knowing you, right? So I think of you as a kind of no nonsense, direct person. Like there seems to be like a kind of like a, there's a calmness to you, like a coolness, you know? Like I was like, she's a cool hot girl. And I get very nervous around cool hot girls.
That's so funny.
Because I'm like, just seems like just very calm. Like, I don't know, just like a calmness. Mm. But, you know, I also very much relate to getting in a bath and crying. So that's what I think is beautiful, to hear that you're also having a nice bath cry. I love that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when people say that to me, I mean, wow, I never think I am the cool girl. I don't know. Maybe I need to try to walk into that a little more. I don't know. When people say I'm stern, is that the word you use?
No, not stern, like calm. Like, calm. I don't know, there's a centeredness. You feel very centered to me, like unflappable. Okay. Like people ain't phasing you.
Yeah, that's because I've been through a lot. That's just like a side effect of being a trans woman from the 80s and 90s. But, you know, and having lived this trans life for a very long time, like I started to, you know, dabble with women's clothing as a teenager and adolescent. So more than half of my life has been lived as a transsexual woman. And so I think it's developed a skin around me and maybe a calmness that comes from just wanting to like preserve my peace. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, I cry in the bathtub. I do everything that everyone else does, I do.
What is your relationship with therapy? I know before we started, you were talking about, you know, finding a good therapist is hard. And I'm also on a search right now. It's feeling Goldilocks. And I just don't know.
You have been on this is a years long search.
I know. But then like this year, I thought I was getting close. I got also really specific, you know, and I was like, no, tell it, because tell me how you do. Because I feel like I want to walk in here and just yell at somebody for 30 minutes and go, can you do it?
Oh, girl, I tried this summer because I had been in therapy in and out of my whole life since I was a bullied, flaming queen, you know, an adolescent and back in Dayton. I've been in and out of therapy my whole life, and I tried again this summer because I fell into a situationship with a guy. He's an actor. He's a big deal. And I won't say who, but it rocked me. And I was like, oh, my heart is still alive. Oh shit. I fell into some feelings. And, you know, I went on the hunt because it was like a, you know, it was an emergency situation. I didn't know. I was like, oh God, I haven't felt like this in years. And I was trying to pick up the pieces and I was like, oh, I need like a therapist like tomorrow. And so I got on one of those apps. I forget which one it was, maybe BetterHelp or something. And I found someone and they did kind of talk me through it, but I don't know. It's just like you can only accomplish so much in the first session. And I almost feel like I would have gotten further just calling up a girlfriend who knows me and knows my history and knows that, like, Trace, you shouldn't be dating 25-year-old actors. What the fuck are you doing at 42? What are you doing, you 42-year-old tranny? Oops, can I say that? I'm sorry. Anyway, I mean, I can say that. but yeah, it's like, it's always tricky figuring out someone who's going to give you the tools that you need to actually see progress and not just let you blab your face off for an hour and then walk away like feeling like you just threw up, but you still feel sick, basically.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think for me, you know, because I'm a stand-up comedian, I'll take my time. I'll monologue, right? Like, it's not, it's like you want to listen to me and I'll just go. And then, and I'm not even necessarily saying trying to be funny. It's just that I know I can be long-winded. And I'm like, I've sucked the air out of this session.
My therapist is starting to get annoyed, I think. She doesn't betray it, but I think she's starting to, that I'm just like talking about dystopia, that I'm spending too much. And she's like, okay, why don't we concentrate on how you are dealing with this as opposed to you yelling about
the world
yeah. in general. And I'm like,
right.
I'm like, no, my problem is that I don't know how to live in this world. That this world.
I don't either. I've been trying to figure it out for 42 years. I can't figure it out. So.
I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like really, it's interesting because like I know everyone knows, right? And like, especially I think with the Instagramification of mental health, right? Everyone's got a quote and there's some text on a plain background telling you it's going to be okay. But it's like, I guess what I mean is like even though people are more honest about not knowing, right? People say like, oh, I don't have it figured out. It still feels like, okay, we're all admitting we don't know, but still no one has the tools yet. When do we get to the point where we have the tools? Because it's like not it.
Yeah, I think the tools should be taught in school instead of algebra or geometry or whatever the hell. I don't use X plus Y equals bullshit. I do need to figure out my feelings though. And I need to figure out my freaking taxes sometimes. Yeah.
I wanted to hold on. I'm going to defend math because I did use some algebra this morning to figure out
when
I was trying to figure out how much to feed our cat because I think we've been overfeeding him.
Because he gets special cat.
He has special prescription food and he just loves it so much that I'm just like, well, he's eating. I want him to eat it. It's prescription. So I keep giving him more. And then he gets a tummy ache from it. And I'm like, how much are we feeding him? And I was like converting fractions and I was like, okay, well, this is X. So I just want to defend. I think
you're
therapy,
defending math.
I think we should have math. We should also have therapy. We should also have just a life skills class. Like I had home ec when I was in school and it was great. I know how to sew now.
Okay? Right.
But also taxes. I would love a class that just is like, hey, here's how you do taxes, by the way.
Well, I think taxes and feelings are important.
Yeah.
I think especially for young men, I feel like that could solve a lot of the world's problems if we taught young men and adolescent boys empathy and love and how to talk about their feelings. I think that would solve a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Sure. As a Rust Belt kid.
Okay, Trace, if you ever want to write a self-help book, you should call it Taxes and Feelings. Okay? And that's you being like, how to be a grown-ass adult. And that's...
Yes. Yes.
Because that's adulthood in a nutshell. Taxes and also, like, using your words. I think that's the bigger... It's like, I'm constantly just like, use your words, person. You know? And then it's also like, okay, now you've used your words. Now follow the words up with action. And that's, I feel I'm figuring out that second phase of life.
Action and accountability should be taught in schools too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's as simple as, oh, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Oh. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
How fucking hard is that? You just say you fucked up and then move on.
It's ego death. It was for me for the longest time until, again, getting into therapy. I didn't say this again. I said again because I say this literally every day. Oh, yeah, I was repressed until I got into therapy. But it genuinely, like, saying, like, sorry, it's my fault, what felt like it was, like, I like the Grim Reaper was attacking me with a scythe. Right? That's how it felt inside.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Did you grow up in a household that was, like... repressed in terms of like, we're not going to talk about stuff? Or was it like, okay, we can yell at each other, but we can't like be sweet? You know, the different ways that kind of manifests.
Oh, we yelled. You know, my mom was a single mom doing the damn thing all by herself. Mm-hmm. And it was the Rust Belt, like you said. It was Dayton, Ohio. And she's an amazing woman. And I mean, I'm actually glad we didn't hold things in. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. I mean, sometimes it came out and it got a little crazy, but at least I know how to express myself. We didn't hold things in, I don't think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, it's like, it's interesting because it's like, we didn't either. I was also raised by a single mother and it was just me and her. So I think it's like, we were very like enmeshed, you know, like I grew up like telling her everything because it was like, who else was I going to tell, you know?
Yeah.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Yes, she's telling me everything because who else was there to tell? But then it also felt like as I got older and started to have feelings that were not pleasant, right? Like not easy to share, easy to deal with. Then the rift kind of comes, right? Because now I'm like a person, like it's just us. Again, you know, like, again, when you live with somebody or any roommate or anything, when you're like, the vibes are off in this house, mm-hmm. but we're not. But I don't have the words to say this is what's wrong. And it's like not her fault. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm just like, oh, everything hurts. But how do you say that to somebody?
Yeah.
It's very.
Could she? Could your mom handle it?
I don't think so. And that's not to say anything wrong with her. I think, you know, again, knowing what it is to like have a child. And, I mean, I don't have a child. But do you know what I mean? Like what it is now as an adult. I recognize what it was to. It's just you and this kid. You got to keep this kid alive. You just want this kid to like be okay.
Can I go back? Though, to something you had said earlier about when you were dating this dude, you said for the first time in a while, kind of like, I forget your exact phrasing, but kind of like your heart fluttered. I forgot
like
that
you were like, you had feeling again. Do you,
you know, it's because I had my heart broken so many times that I just, it's so rare for me for someone to pique my interest. And so, the interest was piqued and I was like, why are we slow dancing in my living room? Who does that? No, it was just, it was really beautiful and kind of long and drawn out over the summer. And I forget where I was going with this. Yeah. It was just like a reawakening and you're like, oh, maybe I'm not done yet. Cause like sometimes I get to the point where I think I'm done with love and intimacy in terms of like trying to find that partner. And then I think, well, I'll just have lovers. Like I'll just be, you know, I'll just have lovers and I'll travel and I'll work and I'll be an actor and I'll have my, you know, a couple of special friends. And then, you know, every once in a while romance will rear its head. And I'm like, oh no, I'm still very much a romantic. yeah, but it's all complicated when you're a straight transsexual woman, because the majority of the men that we date is across community lines. So they are not in the Rainbow Club. So they are straight men and it comes with all this stuff. And I think trying to weed through that, it chips away at your soul. And yeah. So every time I go through it, I wonder, do I have anything left? And I'm always surprised when I do.
Yeah.
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 But you said, too, you were like, you know, your interest is rarely piqued. Do you think that is, as you're saying, you know, the sense of like when you be, I call it weary with an H, okay? Is it just weary with an H? Or is it that truly you're like, this dude's boring? Do you know what I mean? Like, are a lot of them boring or are they just tiring?
Oh, well, the really hot ones or the ones that I think are hot, they usually lack somewhere else. And that lack could also be awareness for trans people or even their own attraction to me. And so, and then there's the ones that are like, I'm not so attracted to, but they might, would be amazing in other ways. And I have definitely entertained that as well. But something I realized going through life is that the primal attraction has to be there for me. Like that kind of like salivating primal thing that makes you want to suck somebody's face. That has to be there. Like, so that's like stop one. Otherwise, it's just a platonic friendship for me. Once in a while, the attraction will grow. And that's very, 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 very rare for that to happen. But the other thing is like finding someone who's lived as much life, I think, as I have is sometimes hard. And the younger guys tend to be more accepting of the trans thing, but they haven't always lived as much life. Mm. So I end up dating late 20-year-olds. and they're fine. And, you know, we have fun, but sometimes I don't know where it's going. And I think that is just a challenge that's very specific to, again, straight trans women. And we're provocative in a way that is still not been explored fully, like in TV and film. You catch glimpses of it in Monica, but, there's this forbidden fruit kind of like factor that goes on. And so when people say to me, oh, you're a bombshell, you're so hot, da, 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 and I'm like, yeah, but it comes with a lot of other things. And it has not kept me from heartbreak, or it has not made it easy for me to find partnership. Because, you know, the trans thing is still very much a thing for society. Mm-hmm. And I think people sometimes forget that. That's why I want so badly that our stories get told more regularly, so that they can see, like, oh, even when you look like that or have that career or that, like, you're still being hidden by a man, or you're still not a status symbol. And a lot of men are very status driven in terms of like who they partner with. And I don't necessarily want someone who's status driven. So maybe it's a natural filter in that way. But here I am, single at 42.
Well, you're not alone. So.
A lot of folks single at 42. Especially if you choose to have some kind of standard. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, absolutely. I'm sure I could be booed up and settling, but I don't want that.
Exactly.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Exactly. No.
Do you live in Los Angeles?
Yes, I'm in LA.
I wonder if it's more difficult to find someone that has lived life here versus New York.
Yes, I would probably agree with that. There's also this weird, like, there's so many distractions, and it's an industry of people who are very, like, self obsessed. And, you know, I'm an actor. I have to be a little self obsessed, but I can't, you know, it's hard to connect with other people who are also self obsessed. Yeah. One of us has to, like, I don't know, make up the difference. But, in terms of living life, like, New York, I think, has a grit to it that LA doesn't quite have. And there's definitely a different vibe here.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
How are you staying sane, being that we're in an industry that wants to erode our souls at every turn for the sake of profit? And I'm not saying that offhanded. I'm saying that literally because, like, it's something that I think about too. And I think, you know, we had talked about, again, we were going to, you know, we hoped to record. Then there were the strikes. And, you know, we went through that time last year too, where there was also now what it felt like finally an open conversation about the extent to which people were being taken advantage of, though it was always known.
Yeah,
but it was
right.
Like an open conversation. It was everywhere. Everybody was telling the story. And so we do all that. And now I guess we ain't on strike anymore, but we just supposed to, like, smile and hustle? Like, we didn't all just talk about what had happened?
About being exploited?
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. I think it's been known in the industry how bad it is, but I don't know that the general public understood that the people that they go to watch on Saturday at the movie theater or in their living room on the TV, what a lot of us working actors go through, and just people in entertainment altogether, all of the shenanigans we put up with, and my goodness, I mean, everything that Taraji was talking about, Monique was talking about 10 years ago or whatever, and then you have the strike and fighting for residuals. why should we have to fight for residuals on our art? We shouldn't have to fight. It should be automatic. There should be laws in place that protect us. This shouldn't be a union thing. This should be a legislation thing to me. I feel like that's for labor across the board. Like, I feel like there's something, there's a greed factor that has been at play since the beginning of history, beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And if we don't tackle the root of that thought process about around haves and have nots and who deserves what and why can't a worker have some kind of stake in whatever company, whether it's acting or a factory job, like why can't it be a collective instead of just benefiting the few at the top? And I mean, that's a conversation that's been around for ages, but we still haven't figured it out. We still haven't figured out equity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the real difficulties, I've been thinking about this a lot for the last, since March 2020, since whatever happened there, I've been thinking a lot about this. The world changed and something different was asked of us all. And now we have to, those of us in this industry are like, well, what do I do? Do I spend my time trying to build my career and make the things I want to make like it was pre-pandemic, like it was pre-everything that's happened in the last, I mean, I don't know, let's go back 20 years, like whatever, right? Or like, how do I do this? Because I don't, that's when I was yelling about, like, I don't know how to exist in this world. Part of it was that, where it's just like, my desires was always to make TV or write comedy or do something like this. And the world is now asking something different of me, to be an activist in a way that I haven't been before. And it's kind of a mind fuck a little bit.
But Trace, you've been having to do that whether you wanted to or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you stepped into power, but at the same time, it was thrust upon you in a lot of times. I would imagine. You can correct me if I'm wrong, because you know I'd be out here wrong.
In terms of like having to be an activist?
Yes. Yeah. Like being called on. Advocate
for yourself.
Not just yourself, but then obviously to advocate for a larger community.
Yeah. It's been kind of endless and I wish I could do less. And I've even been yelled at by my team about some of the things I've spoken up about. And for me, it's like, it's in my bones. I don't, I try to limit what I say because I don't want to be, I don't want to be off-putting to anybody, but also, you know, being a trans person in this industry, there's not a whole lot of precedent. So it's like, sometimes you got to speak about things or be the first one to speak about something. And I'm trying to do less of that, but like, you know, most recently it was hard to not speak about the lack of press opportunities and stuff like that from Monica that they would have put us in the conversation in terms of like the award season and all that. And just seeing some of the fuckery for lack of a better word, just that like everything's money driven. And, you know, if you don't get in the conversation early, you're not in the conversation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good your performance is or how relevant or timely or poignant the subject matter is, or that it's saving lives, literally saving lives. Obviously it matters to Independent Spirit Awards because they saw something, but some of the larger award ceremonies and even the press outlets, it was like painful to not get on, you know, any of the round tables or, you know, and I'm probably going to get yelled at again if my publicist hears this, but like, I'm sorry. It's just,
It is.
It's really rough because I wish they knew what the average trans girl is going through out here. I wish they fucking knew that, you know, most of my sisters are still out here sucking dick to pay their rent because opportunities are scarce, or that you can't even find love in the struggle because we are forbidden fruit. Like, it's one thing to be in the struggle, but it's another thing to not have love or hope, like, or respite in the shit, right? So thank God for friends, yeah. You know, because sometimes friends and chosen family is all we have. But sometimes I just feel like I wish they knew. I wish they knew.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, I've just been thinking about, as I've been working in much smaller ways just to advocate for myself and finding it so tiring to do it, right?
Yeah, where like, it's tiring.
Even if it, quote unquote, works out. Sometimes the question is, well, did it work out so much if I had to do so much work for it to work out?
Exactly, because then you're exhausted. Yeah. You're like, well, why did it have to be all that?
Yeah. Why did it have to be all that?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did I have to cry for you? Why did I have to come through? You know what I mean? You know, it's like, why do I have to ache for you to be like, I understand.
For this person you're talking to see that I'm a human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's almost like they need to see the tears or something, because if you tell them sternly, hey, this is not right, well, then you're just a bitch.
Yep.
Or, you know, you're just difficult or something. Mm-hmm. And then if you, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, why? It's exhausting. And then sometimes you're like, well, is it worth speaking up? Maybe not. And so lately I've been doing less.
Yeah.
And, trying to be in the joy. And, you know, I do have to pass the torch to the next one who can now speak up. But, oh, man. Yeah. I don't know how we get on all that, but it can be a lot. Well,
but I want to ask, no, but I hear you. But I guess what I want to ask, you said being in the joy, being with friends. Because I was going to ask you, it's like, what do you do to lift yourself up or at least give yourself rest? I ain't saying you got to be all the way high up, but what do you do to relieve a little bit? And I ask that for myself, my own personal edification.
I stay active because I grew up playing sports, and I think my body freaked out as an adult when I wasn't being as active as I used to be, and it's a chemical thing, like the endorphins just weren't there. So I started hooping. I grew up playing basketball and running track, and so I started shooting hoops a couple times a week, and I started boxing, and I, you know, started hitting the track again. And, you know, if I stay active, that helps me release. Also, you know, crying in the bathtub kiki with friends. I make time for my inner circle. I try not to spread myself so thin. I took Instagram off my phone for 2 weeks right after we got done with the award season press run. Right after, I think it was after Oscar nominees were announced, I was able to get off socials for like 2 weeks. And that felt amazing.
Really?
And I want more of that. I mean, I have to hop on here and there to like post something important or sponsored something. But I want to get back to just going months at a time without being connected to this thing
that is so
addictive, and you feel like if you're not doing it, you're getting left behind. And I hate that feeling. And I miss the analog world. I miss being in the moment to moment and not like checking my phone every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was doing the dishes earlier, and it was, you know, what, 10 minutes? And I'm like, I should check my email. What if I got an email? Got to dry my hands real quick.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's really.
I know. No, yeah. I took my phone into the bathroom and I said, Naomi, what are you doing? Like, it was just kind of like, go to the bathroom. And it was just like, not because I'm waiting for a call, Trace, okay? It's not because there's a call coming.
It's because I think part of it's very addictive, obviously.
Yeah.
But also the other half of it is, if I don't have this thing here, then I have to contend with whatever's in my head. I think that's the thing that is like, well, I have to deal with my anxiety, or I have to, again, the world. I can't control most of the world. I can't control, I would say, any of it outside of my own moving my hands. I guess that's really it. That's the lesson I've learned in the last, like,
right.
I'm not saying that should lead to nihilism, listeners.
Right. You're not saying do nothing.
I'm not saying do nothing. I'm just saying you should know what the extent of your actual control is in the world. And that is the movement of your limbs and such. Okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that stuff when I'm alone with my brain, that starts driving me nuts, and it's tough for me to deal with.
Well, maybe
it.
you got to start running or shooting hoops, because I do love that is what you're saying, right? Because it is like moving your body. Because I do think there is like the act of scrolling. It's of course not action, but do you know what I mean? It's a thing to do with your hands, where it's like
okay,
running, playing something else. Like I was looking online for coloring books. Like to color. I just said I need something to do.
Yeah. Was there anything when you were younger, like a child, that you loved doing that you don't do as an adult?
Yes. And that's why, that's what made me think, because I used to love painting, like not, it wasn't good, but like watercolors, you know, like simple, just kind of like mixing on the paper. Just felt very meditative. And so then I was like, oh, I don't want to get a whole bunch of paints and stuff, especially with these pets. The cat will probably knock over the water. It'll be a damn mess. So I said, let me get like a coloring. Because I was like, that was like simple and easy. You can play some music while you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's true. Because I was like, I got to stop. Because I'm just sitting here looking at shit. Because I start looking at a picture of Animal Friends, which is nice. But very quickly, I end up depressed. And somehow it's like, is QAnon real? Like, it's like, you can start off looking at the most innocuous shit. You can start off looking at the most innocuous shit.
Yeah, it's so easy to just doom scroll and then see everything that everyone else has going on. Or you end up looking at shit that, like, it's just too much information. You don't need to know all of that. Like, I don't need to see giraffes fighting each other. Like,
what? This actually seems like a nice place. Yeah, Why don't we take a quick break? And when we get back, we're going to answer your advice question.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back with Trace Lissette here to help you handle your scandals. Trace said, let's find some peace, okay? And we're going to take that energy and try to help you help yourself, because y'all be calling up in here, as always, in need.
Yes, our listeners, they get in touch with us through Twitter and Instagram. Not Twitter so much anymore, I'll say this. Instagram mostly, and Gmail. And of course, our favorite is voicemail. Naomi, what is that number?
323-524-7839. As always, I want your pronouns and log line up top. Because sometimes y'all be going long and you don't get to the question.
3 minute
so
limit.
So I need a log line up
three
top, y'all. 3 minute
limit.
Trace, you think I'm being extra, but I'm telling you, sometimes they'll start off with this whole long thing. And I said, what's the question? So there are, I need the question up top.
Our Booker Mimi puts all the questions in an Excel spreadsheet. And a lot of the notes she makes is, they never got to the actual question. They never got to the actual question. Gets cut off. I think we know what they're asking, but they get cut off. That note is there so many times. So we are not, I understand that we are coming in with a lot of weird energy.
They know me. I told
you.
No,
I'm talking to Trace.
Oh, Trace. Trace understand. Trace said, give us the pronouns and log line choke. Trace said,
I co-sign.
All right. Let's do this one. This is not romantic. This is about a work relationship.
Okay.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and treasured guest. I am calling with an advice question that is about a relationship, but not a romantic one. I am calling to ask about an old boss. I use she, her pronouns, and this person uses he, him pronouns.
Okay, thank you.
So my old boss, we worked together for about 4 years, and about 2.5 of those, we worked very closely. I was, like, not quite his assistant, but he was training me a lot, and we worked very closely at a small company of less than 8 full-time staff members. And while he was, like, a big mentor, especially insofar as, like, we didn't agree on everything, but it actually, like, helped me learn how to talk about new things. He was also kind of toxic, I think, and as bosses tend to be. And did a lot of things, like, insisting on calling me friend, even though he was my boss, and, like, other similar things. But overall, like, I don't know, I think we ended things on a good note. We both left that job within the last year, and when we left, I was very clear about, like, what my next professional goals were, and they were very far from the work we were doing. He tried to get me to come work for him multiple times, even though I had shared that I was interested in other paths, and we haven't really talked since, because I had to turn him down multiple times, and it felt really weird, like, going back and talking after I had to say no, and after he had so clearly ignored, like, the things that I had mentioned. So now, however, for multiple reasons, personal and professional, I am thinking of reaching out to him for some help, again, both with job and a personal matter. I do ultimately, well, I don't know if I totally trust him, and I'm not really sure how to navigate the situation, because I don't know, he was kind of weird when I was, like, turning down the job request, and but I don't want to alienate him, because, like, ultimately he has a lot to offer and did know me very well and helped me for a long time. Okay. That's about 3 minutes. So is it worth salvaging? Should I ask him? Yeah. Thanks.
I need more information on
Trace,
toxic.
Yeah,
I need
first thoughts. Trace is making a face. First thoughts. Exactly. I'm saying no.
My ADD kicked in. What was the I don't
sorry. No. So-called toxic boss, but the toxic, like, I had a toxic
Can
boss.
Can we summarize that, please?
But her question is basically, she's like, I had this boss, we were close, but he was also a little toxic, but doesn't say what the toxic was.
Besides saying, like, calling her friend.
But then she was like, he had tried to get me to work for him again once I left. I said no, we didn't talk, but now I need something from him. Should I try to talk to him?
What does she need now?
This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is what I mean.
Hold on. Let's just, because I've had a toxic boss who spent every day screaming at people,
right,
would fire people based on, like, no reason, would constantly gossip about people, would use language that is racist and anti-Semitic language all the time. And I had no choice but to be in this job. I had no money.
You're right.
I had to be in this job. And it was nine. That's toxic to me. That's where I'm like, I'm not sure exactly what, because that person I would never go to again unless.
But that's why
I think move on. I don't know what you would need from this person, but sounds like backtracking to me. I prefer to keep evolving in life.
I agree. The sense of, like, because to me, I'm like, because basically it's like, he had come to you. You were like, I don't want to work for you. I want to do something else. You're changed your mind. You know, then you felt like you didn't want to talk to him. But now there's something. I don't know if it's that you want a recommendation or you wanted something. But it's like, this is like, you can find other mentors and other people. And that was, like, maybe a good mentor for the years you were at that job. But it's like, you're trying to make moves in a different direction anyway. Let's not go back because you need, I don't know what, favor. I don't think so, especially because what you're saying, because then she also says, like, she was like, I feel kind of, I don't know if I fully trust him. What? Why are you talking to him? That's when I made my face. The moment she was saying, I don't fully trust him.
Do you know what it reminds me of, though? Like, to me, it sounds like showbiz type stuff where you know that this person in power is a piece of shit, but you're like, they kind of can do something for me. And you, it's kind of this war in your heart sometimes.
Nah, see, Trace ain't Warren, though. Trace ain't Warren.
Sometimes. I'm not saying all times.
It's not worth it. It's, in my experience, it's better to just go where the love is.
And yes.
If you're feeling a weird feeling about somebody or an uneasiness, there's, how do I say this? There's been times when I really wanted a gig, and then maybe the person who had the power, there was an uneasiness there, right? Mm-hmm. Or I knew maybe I wasn't even on their radar, but I'm fighting so hard to get in there for that role because I know I can do it and da da da. And it was all for nothing in the end because I was never going to be the one anyway. And there was these people over here who wanted me or wanted my attention or thought the world of me or had a certain reverence for me that this other entity did not have. And so I wasted my time, you know, just trying to do that instead of like leaning in, as Oprah says, listen to the universe and lean in. And if you're feeling like you don't trust him a little bit, I would say move on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's 100%. That's every time where I don't listen to myself. I'm not going to say not even the universe, my gut. Every time I don't listen to my gut,
yeah,
it does not end well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does it take so long for us to learn that?
I know.
I'm still learning it.
Because it's the desire, the gem, the shiny thing that you want. Mm-hmm. That desire like overpowers the feel, even though you know you're like, this person sucks, but I don't know. They like, you know, they made all these shows, so I guess I should.
Yeah,
I guess I should hang out with or whatever is the thing.
Yeah,
not I know.
That's so Hollywood.
But oh, I think that is the thing though with other, you know, I guess with this boss, this again, toxic. I want to know what is toxic about them besides that they're overly familiar.
Well, I think it's also the sense sometimes, because I know it's like, I should listen to my gut. But then I think the reason why it can take so long to realize that is because things, if things have not historically gone my way, and I think because I can't control other people, I can only control myself, it's easier to blame myself. You know what I mean? When it doesn't work, it's way harder to say, well, all this other thing's bad. It's like, okay, Naomi, you did something wrong, which means you have something you can change. Mm. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's easy, even though, like, at least that's, but at the same time, it's like, that's not always true. Sometimes the system is fucked. Like, sometimes it's not you.
Yeah, well, I think that those of us who are able to ask, was it me? I think usually it's not
us. Okay, accurate. Okay, accurate. Perhaps accurate.
It's usually somebody else fucked up or did something shady. And we're like, okay, now I have to just deal with that or move on or I don't know, move around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So unless this person is about to greenlight your film, I say, do not. I say, just drop them.
Drop it. Say, you don't need this person. You don't need to talk to them. You didn't want to talk to them before. You need something and you think they're the only way to get it. And they ain't the only way to get whatever it is. They're not. They're just not.
Yeah.
So
again, or if you're going to manipulate them into getting the thing you want, you can't just go in for the ask. You got to start it off slow.
You got to butter them up.
And then, and you got to set it up. You got to set it up.
Angie,
so that
don't teach people how to be socio.
So weeks later.
Oh my God.
I don't like knowing this. I don't like
that
having
this.
That
sounds like so much work.
Well, what I'm saying. It is.
That's why I don't like doing it.
Well, that's what's funny. Because sometimes I feel like the people who are good at that kind of stuff, working people, that's its own job, right? Like it's almost like you're better at the full-time job of working people than you are at whatever the thing is you're trying to get.
Oh yeah. I was a stripper for 8 years and I was probably the worst at that. Thank God I could dance and I was pretty, because those other bitches who could walk around the room and talking up a storm, talking these men out of their wallets, you know, playing the game, quote unquote, you know, giving them the fantasy, giving them the girlfriend experience, like, you know, sitting with them for hours and like asking for this ginormous tip at the end of the night, hoping that it pays off. Sorry, I just want to give you my $20 dance and then be on my way and on to the next. Right, you know right. what I mean? Like, I couldn't do the psychological warfare that was required, you know, to make money in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather go flip around on the pole. So, you know. Yeah, that's what that reminds me of.
What is the payoff?
It's a certain skill. Yeah. It's a certain skill.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. When
you spend your entire night, you know, buttering up this guy, what is the percentage chance that it will pay off in a large tip? Like, is that a good strategy?
Well, for some of them, the chance is very good.
Right. If they know how to work it, then that's they work. Like, that's how they know what to do.
Oh, yes. There were several girls that just knew how to do that. And it was like nothing for them. It was just playing a character. And they just drop in and just play it for 8 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Until the shift was over.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, one of my things, cause I'm like, this is something I feel like I've had to learn more just in general, right? Neutral face, because like I feel like when I don't like something, it's on my face. Like I don't know how to just be like, okay, like I don't know. And I'm like working so hard on neutral face, and I'd be like, don't look like you think this is bullshit. Like, just look neutral.
Yes, neutral face is important in life.
Oh my God, I'm working on it.
Trace, do you have time for one more?
Absolutely.
All right. This one comes to us from Vel from Gmail. Naomi, do you want to read this?
Okay, I'll read it. Okay. Uh-oh. Okay, Trace, this is long. I'm going to try to go fast. I don't want your ADD because I'm seeing a thick, thick paragraph. But we going to work it out.
I'm going to say this of the Gmail, of the ones we get in Gmail, this is of the shorter end.
It is? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Andy, Naomi, an esteemed guest. Yes, Trace is esteemed, okay? I started a long-distance relationship back in December with someone I was close friends with. Let's call him Tom. Before we got together, Tom had plans to come visit in May because we have mutual friends in the city and we all wanted to go to a convention together. We also made several date plans for when he was here, and I was super excited. This is the first serious relationship I've had in years, because my last two were so terrible, I gave up on dating for a few years. Mm-hmm. A week before his trip, Tom sent me a message saying he was sorry he couldn't see himself doing anything romantic for the foreseeable future, as he, quote, unpacked some trauma that was worse than he thought, end quote, and canceled all of our date plans. This took me completely by surprise because everything seemed fine, but I was supportive and told him I'd wait. I'd taken the week off work for his visit, so I tried to keep myself busy so I wouldn't get depressed. And when we did meet up to go to the convention, he could barely look at me and didn't really speak to me at all. He mostly just tried to keep his distance the whole time. Even after his visit, he hasn't messaged me, and I want to give him space, but the fact that he doesn't even want to talk anymore really got to me. My last two relationships ended because my partners ghosted me. One started dating someone else and didn't even tell me.
Oh, no.
The other was only dating me while her BF was out of town. And this is starting to feel like the same thing. This whole situation brought those old memories back up, and I've been so stressed from work, family issues, and moving that I completely broke down. I walked out of my job and spent the next week in a dark place mentally. I'm doing better now, but even though I believe Tom when he says he just needs a break, in my heart of hearts, I know we're not getting back together. Am I crazy and this is just my trauma talking? I don't really have anyone to talk about this with because most of my friends are friends with him as well.
Oh.
And I don't want to put them in the middle. So I have no voice of reason telling me if I'm being crazy or not. Sincerely, Vel. Okay.
Hmm.
So cadet's version, Vel was seeing Tom, and Tom and Vel were friends before. So that's the thing. It's like, this isn't just somebody that mm-hmm. they were dating. This is like, we were friends.
So they were friends trying to move into the romantic space, yes. and then it didn't happen.
Right. And basically Tom was like, I need a break. I need space. But then, because I guess they were,
quote unquote, unpacked some trauma that was worse than he thought.
So he going through it. He going through something.
Something. Maybe. Maybe they didn't want to, put him on blast. I'm curious whether that's an excuse or whether that is real.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. Because it seems
even if he's going through trauma, Here's the thing. Even if he is going through trauma, he's going to take his time and he'll circle back if he wants to. And if he's not going through trauma and that's just a cop-out, then you need to give him space anyway because he's not for you. So either way, you need to let it go, because if he comes back to you on his own accord, then he's sorted through whatever he's sorted through. The tricky thing is, like, don't get in the yo-yo with him, because yes, trauma is very valid and real, and he deserves time to work through something if he's being real with that. Mm. However, he does not deserve to yo-yo you, mm-hmm. Because even in trauma, you can still be a good communicator. And also, if you're going through something and you genuinely like someone, my thinking is that you won't let them go too far, even if you're going through something.
Yeah. I'm with you on that too, because I think it's like, because there's also a difference too, where it's like, I'm going through something, which means I can't really like be a romantic partner right now. Right. Like, I know I don't have the bandwidth to like give you the romantic stuff you need, you know, the level of attention you need when you're dating somebody. That's for real. But it's not, I just need a break. No communication of what that is. And then I'm not even going to talk to you.
And then, and then, like, you know, not even looking at them.
Yeah, won't even look at you and, like, keeping a distance. It's like, especially, again, if you're
friends. Yeah, that's weird. I'm sorry. That's a red flag. I mean, because neglect is a form of abuse. And not saying he owes you a relationship, but if he wouldn't even look at you, like, what the fuck is that? Like, what?
Exactly.
It really feels like, you know how a lot of people are weaponizing therapy talk these days, where they're where they will use it as a way to
avoid being decent.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, for real.
I'm unpacking trauma. I just didn't want to talk to you, or I didn't want to.
Right.
I didn't want to have to dump you. So I'm just like, I'm unpacking trauma, and I'm just gonna leave it like that, instead of saying what is actually happening.
Right.
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 Because if you're in therapy and you're dealing with some real stuff, or you're not whatever. I assume if you're using the phrase unpacking trauma, you're in therapy.
But you might just be on some Instagram accounts.
Yes, you might.
What did I tell you?
You might have just scrolled on Instagram or on TikTok and said, "Oh, this is me." That's even worse then, where it's not even, you're not even actually dealing with something. You're just using an excuse. I don't know. There's a lot of trifling folks out here these days.
Yeah, it's easy to overcomplicate something when it's like, girl, he ain't stepping up. Like, that's all you need to know, is that he's not stepping up. So keep it moving. And if he catches up to you, great, hooray for him. But if he doesn't, then he's not for you. And it's hard when we're in it. Like, the situation I had over the summer, it was kind of like, you know, there was a lot of tricky, like, smoke and mirrors going on that I had to sift through. But then when I looked at the root of it, I was like, you know, fuck that. He's not doing what he said he was going to do or whatever. And this is a donezo. Like, it's time to move on.
Right.
But the love, the dopamine, all of that gets you. It gets you.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I think the reason why Vel is kind of feeling this way too, right? It's because they're like, the last two relationships ended because my partner's ghosted me. So this is like back what we were talking about trusting your gut, right? Where it's like, this don't feel right. But because this happened before, it's like, okay, am I overreacting? Or it's, and it's like, no, you're not. Like, you deserve a person who, again, it goes back, taxes and feelings. State your tax, state your income, state your feelings, state your intentions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
fill out this 1099 for my heart.
$10.99 for my heart. Okay. Claim some dependence, bitch. Claim a dependent.
Exactly.
Like, you deserve a person who will say things.
What I will say, though, is it sounds like there might also be something there to explore about attracting these particular kinds of people. Like, what is alluring about this person that might have similarities to those last two dudes who ghosted you? Because there's a pattern happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're broken or anything like that. I'm saying you're more precious than you might understand yourself to be. Mm. And with that, you need to safeguard your heart and really pay attention to those yellow flags that turn into red flags, because you don't want this to turn into a fourth guy after him that does the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you got to start really looking at their character flaws, or, you know, their being, like, who are they at the core?
Right. Right. I know. There's also, like, because I also remember this, and obviously in my 20s when I was, like, younger, where, like, there would be guys where I was like, oh, we're such great friends. So, of course, I was like, oh, like, maybe this is romantic, or, like, it should be romantic, you know, that feeling. But then it would be interesting when you, like, but then you would see the way he treated the girls he actually dated, and it was like, oh, it's actually better to be a friend. It's actually better to not.
Yes. Yes. Yes, because I don't want to be treated like that.
Exactly. And it's like, this could be that thing with Tom, too, where it's like, y'all were good friends, but now maybe he's not a good relationship. Like, he doesn't know how to be with a person on equal footing and openly. Some people don't some people don't know. They really don't.
Yeah, I don't think she would. I don't think that they would be having all of these questions if Tom was the total package. Being the total package comes and goes. I've there's been points in my life when I didn't have it all together, you know, and I'm sure people had questions about me. Well, I don't know, Trace is flakier. You know, she just doesn't call me back, or she takes days to reply, or whatever. Like, you know, and in that case, maybe I was the asshole, but, or not, didn't have it together. But either way, it's not right. So. You gotta move on.
That's the
word.
Move on.
That's the word.
Gotta move on.
Trace Lissette with the final word. With the word, you gotta move on.
Gotta move on.
Trace. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We are such big fans, and I was like so excited, and this is just so great, and I appreciate you taking the time. You're wonderful.
Yes. Oh my God, you guys are so fun. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
We'll talk to you later.
See you next time.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered